The Korean government has launched a monitoring and research system for a mysterious illness linked to the coronavirus afflicting children. Now, Korea hasn't seen any known cases of this so-called pediatric multisystem inflammatory syndrome, but health officials have received reports on two suspected cases and are looking into it closer. It is being compared to Kawasaki disease, and it's been reported in at least 13 countries. We're going to get more medical analysis on this. Very pleased to be joined from the Division of Allergy Immunology at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, Dr. Kathleen Sullivan. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Henry. How are you?
I'm doing good, Dr. Sullivan. Thank you so much for joining us. First, help us understand, what are the symptoms of this illness being reported among children?
So this syndrome can look like a number of different things. And remember, the first case of this was only described just a month ago. So we're still learning quite a bit. But this is a disease so far that strikes children and children only. The average age is about 7 or 8 years, tends not to strike the toddlers and the infants. And what does it look like? So typically it's 3 to 5 days of quite high fevers that don't really respond to traditional remedies. The fevers might come down slightly, but the fevers are a very strong component of this. In addition, the kids usually have gastrointestinal complaints, can have very profound diarrhea, but also have quite severe abdominal pain, and there have been a number of cases where the parents have brought them in because they thought it was appendicitis. So the abdominal pain can be quite severe. And then the last component of this is that they seem to have had COVID in the past, so COVID a week or two before. We don't find that in every case, but we find it in about 80%. And so imagine a child has had what seems like a not very severe case and is well on the mend and is doing better, and then this very high fever comes and they're quite sick. They're usually extremely irritable and unhappy, and then the thing that brings them to the hospital is their heart becomes sort of paralyzed. So this inflammation affects their heart. And when you look at it with an ultrasound, the heart is barely contracting. It's like the heart is completely stunned. And that's the danger of this. Now, this is, I'm portraying it fairly dramatically. Yeah. This is fortunately a rare phenomenon. So most kids do well with COVID, and the vast majority will never go on to develop this hyperinflammatory syndrome. But to watch it unfold before your eyes, it can be quite terrifying. And I can only imagine what it's like for the parents.
Right. And it's scary for the parents. Any childhood disease would be scary. The reason why this makes headlines, obviously, is this link with COVID-19. 90% of the children in New York either tested positive for COVID or, as you said, had it in the past through antibodies testing. So right now, as it stands with the research, it's a correlation, but there is no definitive look at the causality between COVID-19 and this phenomenon, right?
Very hard to understand, right? The kids seem like they're getting better, and then there's this new phenomenon. And so there has to be an explanation for that. There are other conditions that we know and classify as post-infections. The immune system seems like it's gaining the upper hand and then suddenly takes a wrong turn and starts causing harm. So it can happen in other scenarios, but this just feels like a particularly cruel aspect of COVID-19. I agree. And it's very tough to prove causality. Mm. You are absolutely correct that the vast majority have evidence of past infection with COVID-19, but it's really hard to prove that that's what's driving this particular phenomenon.
And for lay people like myself, and we read the media reports and the description of this, we keep hearing that this mysterious illness is quite similar to some of the symptoms or features of Kawasaki disease. Can you explain what maybe the similarities and differences are?
Sure. So in a way, we know so much more about Kawasaki disease, and yet I'm still going to say the same thing. It feels like a post-infectious condition. So how do they look alike? How are they similar? So Kawasaki we've known about since 1967. It was first described in Japan and South Korea, and still the majority of cases, there's about 10 times more cases on a population basis in Japan and South Korea than the rest of the world. Kawasaki disease is usually, again, after an innocuous illness and then high fever that doesn't respond to Tylenol or ibuprofen. The kids usually get red eyes and their lips can be red and cracked. The lymph nodes in their neck or their glands are quite large, so the parents will sometimes feel their neck and say, oh, it feels like there's a knot there. And they can have some gastrointestinal complaints, but compared to the hyperinflammatory syndrome associated with COVID, the GI complaints are much less. And why do we care about Kawasaki's, and why has it been studied so intensively? It's not the acute disease so much, although it is miserable for the kid. Mm. It is because in a small number of cases, they will go on to get coronary artery inflammation, which can be fatal in the moment, but also puts them at high risk for heart disease later on. So what's similar and what's different? Well, the ages are slightly different. Kawasaki disease is a disorder of toddlers, whereas this, I'm going to call it MIS-C because that's what we're calling it in America, so okay. Multi-inflammatory syndrome associated with COVID-19 or of children. So the MIS-C is a slightly older age range, much more in the way of GI complaints, less rash, less red eyes, less in the way of big lymph nodes. But the heart is involved in a different way. So instead of just coronary artery involvement, the whole heart is profoundly inflamed. And as I said, when you look at it with ultrasound, it just looks like it's stunned. Now, interestingly, because of the association, because it looks so much like Kawasaki disease, people started using treatments that are commonly used for Kawasaki. And so those treatments are giving a very high dose of antibodies called IVIG and aspirin, of all things, to try and keep the coronary arteries calm. Turns out that's pretty effective in MIS-C. So it turns out it works really well in bringing down the fever, calming some of the inflammation, restoring the heart to better contractility. So it's an unusual treatment. It was developed for Kawasaki disease, and it's very effective there. And it turns out it's very effective in MIS-C. And so not 100%. There are still kids that need additional management to sort of help them get back to their full cardiac function. But it has been quite remarkable, the parallels between the two. So there are similarities, and there are clear differences.
And overall, I guess maybe just to get some peace of mind for parents out there, what's generally been the case fatality rate for both Kawasaki or if we have the data for this recent for MIS-C?
Yeah, today Kawasaki's is so recognized by pediatricians. In fact, I'm quite sure we over-treat because the treatment is relatively benign, but better to do that. So the fatality rate today is negligible for Kawasaki disease, not nothing, but quite low. And then while we're still in the realm of trying to be calm about this, remember, few of the COVID-19 cases that come to medical attention are in children, period. And then this is even a rare complication of COVID-19, we think. And so we don't know a case fatality rate. There have been three fatalities that I know about in New York. We have had one of the nice things is that people internationally are being incredibly collaborative to share best practices. And so it's a small number of deaths, but there have been a few.
Okay. Dr. Sullivan, thank you so much for your expertise. Really appreciate it. And hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Take care.